All right, let's review from last week. All right, first thing is this. We talked about David's failure. We talked about how David ignored his duty as king. What was the king's duty? Go to battle. He decided to stay back. Now, the scriptures is unclear why he stayed back. He may have thought that the battle was in hand, that he didn't need to be there because there was not going to be much fighting, or maybe he was just tired. He was just wore out. He was tired of fighting. He said, I'm going to stay home. You guys take care of it. I'm going to stay home for a couple of days. Then I'll go. We really don't know why. But that's not the key point. The key point is that he failed in his duty as king. David indulged in his desire for women long ago. David had a track record. And the track record was very poor when it came to women. And that is that he had a lot of them. So when he saw Bathsheba, and let's just say for the sake of argument, that Bathsheba was coming out of the house of purification that was traditional for a woman coming off of their cycle. Let's say that she was coming out and that David was on the rooftop and David did look down. What should he have done? Walked away. He should have just walked away. But he took a long look. He took a long gaze. Okay? And then he went on to inquire about her. Some key thoughts here that we concluded from just this one point. Our greatest battles do not occur when working. Many times they come when we are idle. Most men have issues late at night when they're doing this with the remote. They're bored and they're doing this. Or they're sitting in their house, everybody's gone to bed, and they're at the computer. They're on their phone. They're on their iPad. Okay? They're idle. Okay? So, in fact, I'm dealing with a man right now. And his wife decided about 6 months ago that she was going to leave him. But the issue began long, long time before that. It began with some issues that he had, which then led to some issues that she is having now. Basically, he was neglecting their marriage. But then he comes to a meet Jesus moment and comes to her and confesses sin, but then they restore. He gets deployed, and while deployed, she falls in sin. And her sin began by being bored and sitting at her computer in social media. And with social media, she started playing online internet games. And he went to their credit card bill and found that she had racked up $4,000 of gaming on the internet. Games of war, does that sound familiar? I have no clue. But games of war. And was addicted to it. And she met a man through this, and they've been meeting. And now she wants a divorce. Okay? Bored. He was bored for a number of years. She was bored. Okay? That's why it's the key, folks. We stay busy. Just stay busy. All right, second thing is this. Forsaking our duty is a serious sin. Forsaking our duty is a serious sin. Men, do not forsake your duty of being a husband, of being a dad. How many of you have ever heard the song, Cats in the Cradle? By Harry Chapin, back in the 70s. I think Ricky Skaggs did a cover for it a few years ago. Did more of a bluegrassy tune with it. There is a lot of truth to that song. Basically, the whole gist of the song is this. That when the boy was born, the boy wanted the dad to be involved in his life, and the dad kept saying, no, no, no. But then as the boy started growing up, the dad then wanted to become involved in the boy's life, and then the dad said, no. And then the last verse is, he calls the son, and the son says, I'm too busy with my job. My kids are at home sick with the flu, but it's been nice talking to you, Dad. Yep, we'll get together soon. And then he says, it finally occurred to me, he's grown up just like me. In other words, the dad had no time for the kid growing up. Now that the kid is grown up, he has no time for the dad. Okay? We must, even with my kids being older, one thing, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, please understand what I'm trying to say here, but Bradley's last basketball game, he came into our bedroom, they lost a heartbreaker, he stands there at our door, tears coming down, he said, I can't believe it's over. He said, I played basketball all my life, and now it's over. And he looked at us, he said, Mom, Dad, thank you for always being there. Thank you for always coming to my games. Thank you for cheering for me. Okay? I'm going to take $1 million for that. Maybe $5 million, but not $1 million. You know, that's why, folks, it is so important that we stay involved in our kids' lives. That moment on the balcony was no different than what had occurred many times before with previous women. And that is that he saw her and she was no different than any other woman. And that is that when he saw what he wanted, he got it. Okay? All right. Number two is the fall. So there's the failure. Here is the fall. David initiated the deed. Let's look at verse 2. It says, it came to pass in an evening tide, or in the evening, David arose from off his bed, walked up on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Okay, when I read in the scriptures where it says wife, I take that as what it says. It's his wife. So David now is initiating the contact. Up to this point, there is no implication that Bathsheba did anything wrong or sinful. Okay, he said, now this gentleman I talked to said that it was a bathhouse, which meant that she was in the bathhouse. The only people who could get in there were women. You can't see in it. And she walked out, and David saw her. Okay, let's just, for sake of argument, let's go down that path. Okay? But it doesn't matter whether she was outside taking a bath. That doesn't matter. What matters is David initiated it. David should have had enough character to say, no, I'm not going to look. I'm not going to go there. David saw and wanted her. David ignored the question of his servant, where in verse 3 the servant says, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Is she not married, king? David ignited the passion of his flesh. Where does sin always begin? Where? Yeah, your mind, your thought life. Okay? Your thought life. It begins and began, and he began to entertain it. He began to dwell on it. It began to urge his passions. And David indulged his desire once again. He let his thoughts run rampant. He then let his flesh come underneath the control of his thoughts. He didn't corral them like we said last week, of where Paul said in 2 Corinthians, of where he says to corral your thoughts, to control them. Here's some applications. Our hearts are no different than King David. We are all capable of sin. And then secondly, we must be obedient to God's word, set up boundaries, stay accountable. Okay? Let me say that again. Set up boundaries, stay accountable, and make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh. My wife, as I mentioned last week, my wife knows every communication that I have with a female. Every. Now, if it is of sensitive nature, where this female says, Pastor, I need to tell you something in complete confidence, I always ask, is this something I can share with my wife? I said, now let me tell you, she is my partner in ministry. And we don't keep secrets. I've never had one to tell me no. They always say yes, of course. Because they know they can trust my wife. Okay? Men, that'd be a great idea for you. Okay? Just set up boundaries. Okay? Make no provision for the flesh. Let's go here to the fallout. Let's go to the fallout. I'm going to give you some points here. First thing is this. Verse 5 talks about, and the woman conceived, sent and told David, and said, I am with child. In other words, I'm pregnant. I'm expecting. So here he has a dilemma. He's got a decision to make. Confess it, cover it up. Confess it, cover it up. Hide it. Okay? Let's hide this thing. Let's keep this quiet. In the midst of panic, we often do not make wise decisions. We often do things then that are out of character because we panic. How many times have we heard on the news of a crime of passion because someone was caught in sin and they went nuts? Okay? So here is King David. He knows, uh-oh. I've messed up. What do I do? Here's Uriah and the plan of David. Uriah and the plan of David. We see here is the illogical thinking of a backslider. Because I truly believe here, and as I stressed last week, and as I stressed Sunday morning, We must protect our time with the Lord. We must protect that time whenever it is for you. It could be in the morning, it could be in the evening, it could be in the mid-afternoon, it could be at your lunch break, but whenever your quiet time is with the Lord, protect it. Protect that time. It is so very important that you keep your heart right with the Lord. You must have a time with the Lord every day of prayer, of confession of sin, of thanksgiving and supplication. Talk to God, but then allow Him as well to talk to you through your prayer time with the Holy Spirit, and then also through your reading of God's Word, allow the Lord to work in and through you as you read His Word. But evidently, David now is getting comfortable in his place. Things have gotten easy. He's not having to fight as much. You know, Saul's taken out of the picture, so he's not worried. When was David the closest to God? When he's being chased. When he's being chased by Saul, and then later in life, when he's being chased by Absalom. In other words, when times are hard. And couldn't that be said about us? That when times are hard, that is that time that we are closest with the Lord. Not when our job is going great. Not when our cars are running well. Not when we've got buku bucks. We have not only done the Dave Ramsey thing of having $1,000 in our emergency fund, but I've got 3 to 6 months of salary saved up. I've got all my credit cards paid off. I've got my mortgage paid off. And I've got thousands of dollars in my retirement fund. Everything's looking good for me. I mean, you have made Dave Ramsey look silly through your financial management. But then that doctor calls you and says, you need to come to the hospital. I got some bad results for you. What are you going to start doing then? Yeah, you're going to start praying. Okay? That is why, and I despise the prosperity gospel so much. Because these people that are trusting Jesus, because He's going to give you a big house, He's going to give you cars, you're going to have money, you know, and this thing is being taught in Africa, out of America, that God's going to make it easy. I'm going to be honest with you. If it means for me to have it hard, for me to stay close to the Lord, may I stay having it hard. But I hope all of us in here can say that. Lord, keep me humble. Empty me of self. Empty me of sin. Empty me of self-dependence. Empty me of pride. And then there's the price of sins in the flesh. Let's go to Psalm 32, if you will. Sin has its price. Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. Another question that I have for those that say that David didn't commit adultery. I said, okay. I said, I'm gonna give you that about adultery. Okay, let's just for sake of arguing here. I said, at the very least, he committed fornication. at the very least. So either way, he sinned. So if he didn't commit adultery, or at the very least fornication, why did he have to confess sin so much? Why did he write Psalm 32? And why did he write Psalm 51? Why did he write those? Right when he was called on it. Verses 3 and 4 says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old, and through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand," what is that? "Was heavy upon me." What is that? It's called conviction. He couldn't sleep. All day long, he couldn't have peace in his mind. At night, he couldn't sleep. My moisture, and what's he talking about? His moisture, his sweat, is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Psalm 51. The greatest psalm in regard to the confession of sin. It would do you well to read this psalm periodically. As I mentioned Sunday night, it was recited by the reformers as they were being led to the stake to be burned. They were quoting Psalm 51. Verses 3 and 4, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned." Here's a question. When you confess sin, do you admit to God, "I sinned against you"? "Lord, forgive me of sin. Amen." Or do you say, "Lord, I sinned against you"? That is why I stress to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that when they offend a fellow brother or sister and they confess sin, to say, or with spouses, you need to confess sin to a spouse, you say, "I am sorry, I sinned against you. I sinned against you." So by you saying, "I sinned against you," that is confession and it is repentance. That is what David is saying here. "I sinned against you, God." Now, if David didn't commit any sin here with Bathsheba and with Uriah the Hittite, why is God wearing him out? Why is God just beating him up silly? Just giving him a spiritual beating behind the woodshed? It's because he sinned. "And done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Here's the price of sins in the flesh. First thing is this: nothing gives the enemy more ammunition to fire at the church than sins of the flesh. It could be, yes, of course, it could be immorality, but it also could be financial dealings. It could be gossip in the church. It could be the way that people treat one another in the church. Maury and I were talking about a fellow brother in Christ that I've known for a number of years. I had no clue that they knew this dear brother. But this dear brother, correct me if I get the story wrong here, but showed up at church one night and they voted him out and he had no clue what was coming. And it's basically because of some music and that thing right there. They didn't like that. And he was introducing songs that are not necessarily in the hymn book. Is that right?
And they use the iPad.
And he uses his iPad. Wow. And they fired him over that. No wonder people don't want to go to church. No wonder. Christ said that people that are lost should have a desire to become believers because you have love one for another. Number two, God's name is disgraced. The name of God is disgraced. David's problems, and here's where we're going to finish up. Verse 27 talks about David's problems. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife and bare him a son, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. What had he done? Y'all know the story. I don't think we need to rehash it. He calls Uriah to the palace. Hey, go home and sleep with your wife. Take a break. In fact, I'm going to give you some good food. But instead, he sleeps at the door of the king. Then he gets him drunk. David does. Still doesn't go home. Now he sends him to the battlefront to get killed, with the intention to get him killed. Basically, he put out a hit on him. That's basically what he did. David was broken in his relationship with the Lord. I think it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, keep short accounts with God. In other words, confess sin and confess it often. Number two, David had a bad testimony before the world. Yes, David is known as being the young shepherd boy that knocked out Goliath. He's known as writing a lot of the Psalms. He's known as being the king of Israel, the star of David. He's known after a man after God's own heart that we see in the New Testament. But whenever you hear the name Bathsheba come up, what do you hear? What do you think? You think adultery. You think murder. Okay. David became belligerent in his own heart towards his sin. And that is that he tried to put the blame on someone else. And we'll talk about that next week in chapter 12. When Nathan the prophet came knocking on his door, gave him a story, and said, someone steals a lamb from this poor man. What do you think should be done to him? Well, kill him. Kill that man. And what did Nathan say? You're him. Thou art the man. Here's some applications. Number one, we must be careful with the beginnings of sin. Flee youthful lust. Run from it. Flee it. Remember what Apostle Paul said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit of sin, just a little bit of sin, can become bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it overwhelms. Number two, there is no security with age. Okay? Those passions do not go away with age. Okay, I talked to a gentleman who is in his 80s. All right, and he was asking me about the welfare of a fellow pastor that we knew that had to resign from the ministry because of an affair that he had had in the ministry. And he said, Brother Duane, he said, I'm in my 80s. He said, those passions don't go away. Okay, David was 50 when this happened. Okay, so the older you get doesn't mean you need to let off the gas pedal. It means secure it. Okay, set up boundaries, even the older you get. David was forgiven. He was forgiven. But after salvation, sin should not be an exception. Not a way of life. The Apostle Paul, when he was talking to the church of Corinth, he listed a bunch of sins. And I mean, he listed some bad ones. He listed murderers. He listed homosexuals. He mentioned drunkards. He mentioned gossipers. He mentioned gluttons. He mentioned laziness. He mentioned some, and then he said, and the like, which meant all the others that I haven't included in on this list. But then he goes on to say some really, really cool words. And such were some of you. You know, if this church is not full of, and such were some of you, we're not doing our job. We're not doing our job. I just read an unbelievable stat recently, but one out of five people in churches such as ours, one out of five struggle with same-sex attraction. One out of five. And those are the ones that admit it. Struggle with same-sex attraction. Folks, if we don't hit that thing head on, if we don't hit it head on, we're going to lose some people. So sin should be an exception, not a way of life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God can and will restore the broken sinner. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks. God can and will restore the broken sinner. Maybe you've sinned. The bad sins. Okay? Listen, God's not done with you. God is not done. God is not done with you until you are laying like this. And even then, He's still not done with you because He can still use your testimony even after you're laying like this. Okay? All right? So maybe you're sitting here tonight and your mind is going through and you're thinking about all the past sins. Look, Christ died for your past, present, and future sins. Sins that you ain't even thought about committing yet. Christ died for them. All right? So you know what you need to start doing now? Not living in the dwelling on your sin. Start living in the dwelling of the forgiveness of your sin. And in a victory that you can achieve through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to have a spell in a minute talking about the forgiveness of sin and the blood of Christ. I had a spell in my house today, and I was scared of those guys fixing my garage door would come knocking on my door while I was having my spell. I was walking through the house today singing "It Is Well With My Soul." All right? Is it well with your soul? If not, it can be. Just go to the Lord and say, "God, I sinned against you. Please forgive me. I don't know why you want to use me, but Father, please use me." Guess what He'll do? Now, if you don't want to be used, don't ask Him. But just look at those 12 misfits called apostles. One of them being the worst sinner of being a publican. All right, we're going to talk about that here pretty soon too on a Sunday morning. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Christ that washes us from our sin, forgives us. Father, help us go to day by day with total dependence upon you. Strip us, Father, of self-dependence, total reliance upon our flesh. Help us, Father, to be totally, 100%, totally dependent upon Thee. Father, dismiss us with Your blessing now. Thank You, Father, that even heroes of Your word sinned But Father, even in their sin, they confess their sin. And after their confession of sin, you used them greatly, you used them mightily. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.